Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Our next guest is an actor, an inventor, and a South Dakota success story in the making. He graduated from the University of Sioux Falls, and today, along with a few other ventures, he's something of a furniture designer. Specifically, Taylor Kalmus crafted a coffee table in the shape of a cassette tape. Let's learn more. Taylor joins us now. Taylor, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Where are we reaching you from?
Right now, I'm standing in Glendale, California. I'm actually waiting for my wife's car to get tires put on it here.
So making use of your time here with us in South Dakota.
Yeah, I actually just called the tire shop and told them, please don't call me back to let me know my car stuff just yet.
All right. If it happens, you know, we're gonna roll with it. If it happens, all right,
you can
just have that conversation live and just go. All right. So let's talk about this coffee table and you know, where this idea came from, and tell me a little bit about the process and the journey.
Sure. Yeah. It all started 5 years ago, right after my wife Heidi and I got married, who also went to USF. But we were getting our first place together, and we needed a coffee table. And at the time, I'd been doing a lot of sense graffiti art paintings on cassette tapes. So I had all these cassettes laying on my desk, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we just took one of these and sort of blew it up? So I made the first one out of plywood in this tiny little closet of a manager's room that I had access to as an apartment manager of our apartment complex. And I made this first one out of plywood, and it was kind of cool. Like, we knew there was something there, but it wasn't really up to par yet. But my business partner, Justin, and I looked at it and were like, yes, there's something here. We need to do something with this.
And, you know, you don't seem old enough to have a lot of cassette tape listening in your history, if you don't mind.
I've heard that.
Me saying so. I can say it because I do and still have my original cassette tapes in my basement. Not that I'm a hoarder, but, you know, I've still got a few of them. So what is it about the cassette tape that sort of captured the imagination of someone your age?
Well, I did catch the sort of the tail end of it only because I had old cars with cassette players still in them.
Right.
So I actually grew up listening to my dad's old cassettes, and he had all these like homemade mixtapes that his high school girlfriends and stuff had made for him. So I was listening to like Rolling Stones and Cheap Trick and Brownsville Station on like these homemade mixtapes.
Right. So tell me what the coffee table looks like. Is it just an enormous cassette tape made out of wood and then graphically painted on there? Do you have mixtape written on it? What's you could individualize those.
We basically just, each one's its own, like, mixtape that you can, it's a dry erase board, so you can, you know, write whatever you want on it. You can put Lori's Jams, you know, 87 on it, or whatever you want. After we sort of figured out that it was, there was something there, that's when I got my brother Zach involved, who at the time was living in Sioux Falls. And because he's this like amazing woodworker, which was so cool that like I had access to him because he took it to the next level. And over the course of about a year, we would send drawings back and forth and have numerous phone conversations, Skype and whatnot, to like get the design, you know, fully dialed in before getting the design patent and everything.
So
what we're looking to do is make like a functional piece of furniture that is also a nostalgic piece of art.
All right. So tell me where it's at in the process now. Can people pick them up in stores, order them? Where are you manufacturing?
So we started, you know, selling them high-end versions that were being manufactured by my brother for $1,700 on our website. And when we put them online, they sort of just blew up and they got picked up by all these big blogs and everything. And we ended up getting sales from like a lot of different international people too. So there's some in like 10 different countries now.
Wow.
Yeah.
But were you surprised?
One thing I kept hearing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was just a little idea that we had one day that we sort of rolled with, and now it's become this big thing that, you know, like the CEO of Republic Records just got a custom one made for the Starboy album for the weekend. Oh,
wow.
And that just got featured in the Architectural Digest.
There you go.
So, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So what happens next? How do you sort of create a model that can go into, you know, someone in a lower price range's house?
Yeah, exactly. So that's sort of the big thing that people kept saying was, I love it, I just can't afford it, which mm-hmm. I can totally understand and appreciate. So we started, you know, sort of relooking at the design and figuring things out and getting in touch with manufacturers and things like that. And once we sort of got that all kind of figured out of how we could do it, we launched our Kickstarter campaign, which is a crowdfunding site to basically pre-sell a whole bunch of them so that we can get our first run ordered to get them into mass manufacturing.
All right. So how's that going?
And those are, yeah. So that's actually in the process right now. I think we have like 5 or 6 days left on that. We did it for like 4 weeks. And right now we are 250% funded.
Wow. All right. So they're coming soon to an IKEA near you or some such. Or
hopefully,
at least a,
we'll see. Yeah. That's the next step.
At least a furniture store, a sort of an independently owned furniture store or something.
Yeah. So you can get them on Kickstarter right now. After the Kickstarter's over, we're going to get them up on our website for pre-orders or something like that. And then they'll all be over here in, I think, like 3 or 4 months.
All right, so Taylor, what I want for it then is a tablecloth that wraps all the way around the coffee table like the old paper that came in the cassette tape. That's what you need to start working
and
on that.
A giant because pencil to wind it.
Exactly. That's what you need too. Your work is not done. So tell me.
It is not done.
Tell me a little bit about vlogging and your online presence and how that sort of surprised you and blown up a little bit too.
My wife and I had a baby. Well, she had the baby. I was, my part in that was much smaller, like 14 months ago. And right when we did that, being an actor and a comedian, I wanted to sort of bring that part into this new part of our life. So I started this blog called Dude Dad, which is on Facebook and YouTube. And basically, it's just like me telling my experiences as a new father and sort of sharing it with the world to, you know, not only just entertain, but inform and let people know that, you know, the things they're going through, other people are going through too.
Right.
But we've been doing that for 14 months now. We've done like 55 episodes. And actually the episode that's gotten the most views was shot in South Dakota at my parents' farm. Just me and my dad, it's called baby hunting. It's called, when you want to hunt, but nothing's in season.
Right.
So anyway, it obviously was very big for the hometown crowd. That has like 7 million hits now on Facebook, which just blew my dad away.
Okay. Like, 7 million is not the hometown crowd though. So, I mean, it had a little bit of reach.
Yeah. When it hit 30,000, my dad called me. And he was like, there's not even 30,000 people in Minor County.
Was your dad prepared to be an internet sensation? And is your son
prepared?
Yeah.
Apparently he got a lot of phone calls from random people he hasn't talked to in years and stuff, which was a lot of fun to hear about.
All right. So launching an acting career in comedy and just sort of that whole scene out in California. Tell me, what are your aspirations there and how do you sort of bring that? Well, because obviously if you bring South Dakota into the conversation online, it has a big audience. How are you bringing South Dakota into your work in California?
Yeah, sure. Well, I try to stay as connected as I can because I think there really is something cool about sort of the hometown crowd and I like, I'm very thankful for the people back home that have supported me. Cause you know, it's like, and it shows too, when I do a video in South Dakota, it gets a lot of views because those people are excited that it happened there. Which is really a neat experience. And cause you know, there's just not that much film and TV and, you know, videos being made there, so when it does happen, people get really excited about it, which I think is really neat, and it's fun to make them a part of it. And out here, whenever I tell anybody I'm from South Dakota, I'm usually the first person they've ever met from South Dakota, so that's kind of a fun experience too.
I've been through that as well. What do they ask you about your home state? I want to see if it's changed since I lived elsewhere.
Honestly, they don't usually ask that much. They're just kind of like, wow, I've never met anyone from South Dakota. But I haven't got any of the, like, you still ride wagons or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
I used to get a lot of indoor plumbing questions. That was sort of the thing.
Indoor phone?
Indoor plumbing, you know, do you still, yeah.
Oh, sure.
And I think from a genuine perspective, I think people just didn't really have an understanding. I don't think they were necessarily teasing me, although sometimes it turned into that. So, yeah, what are your aspirations there in L.A.? What are you hoping to do?
Honestly, I've been saying for a long time, I just want to live my life creatively and make a living creatively. So whatever avenue that takes me, you know, the table started to sort of hit. So I put, you know, some focus on that. And then, you know, Jimmy Kimmel Live starts calling me. So I put some more focus in that. And I sort of bounced around from one thing to another, which for a while I struggled with because it's a lot to take on to not be able to just focus on one thing.
Right.
But after a while, I sort of just gave in and said, you know what? I'm just not a one thing guy. I don't think I can do just one thing.
So, do you see yourself ever in the future coming back to the state and creating that, living that creative life here? Is that possible for you?
It's definitely been in the conversation. It's just going to be a matter of timing and seeing how everything lines up. The one advantage of being in a place like Los Angeles is it's much easier to be connected to sort of the powers that be that can really make things happen and have the platforms and things like that. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's sort of one of those things though too, like if there's something that you want to do that's not already being done, you just sort of have to do it yourself. So I think there is definitely something to that it could be done, and you know, maybe I'll be the guy that does it, but right now we're happy with where we're at.
All right. You are a graduate of the University of Sioux Falls. I'm sitting and broadcasting from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Tell me something that you learned in college that you apply today and say, yeah, I'm really glad I studied that. Who do you remember as a teacher what do you remember that you carry with you still?
Sure. Well, my professor, Kim Bartling, had a big impact on my career and everything. And I think she's listening right now because she listens to public radio all the time.
Hi, Kim.
But one thing she always said that stuck out with me was that you don't take yourself seriously, take what you do seriously, which really plays into my life because it allows me to be the silly, zany guy I am, but also be very focused and know what I want, what I want to do.
Don't take yourself seriously, but take what you do seriously. I'm writing that down. Thanks, Kim. And thanks, Taylor Kalmus. You can find his coffee table in the shape of a cassette tape. Where can I go to find one of those and be part of that Kickstarter program, Taylor?
Well, you can search just cassette tape coffee table on Kickstarter for the next 6 days. Otherwise, after that, you can find it on our website, tables.com. And that's tables with a Y in it, spelled like Taylor.
Right, got it.
T-A-Y-B-L-E-S.
Yeah.
And other than that, you can find all that on Facebook as well and everything. So,
awesome. Taylor Kalmus, thank you so much for being with us today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, Lori. Have a good one.